Rohan, good morning. Welcome to Hawaii Island Burial Council. We're tuning in to you from Kona Sai at West Hawaii Civic Center. Going to do roll call and then a pule. I'll just start with myself, Kalena Blakemore, representing Kona.
Mark Rivello, representing Kona.
Haumea ka'u.
Aloha mai, I'm I'ini, the Hamakua rep.
Aloha, I'm Trey Vanapiki, Hilo rep.
Staff here from Shift D, if you all want to introduce yourselves.
Hello, my name is Noah Gomes. I'm the state ethnographer.
Hello, I'm Tia Lazares. I'm the office assistant of Shifty.
I don't see any cloth, and I'm just not going to
talk. Hello, Krishna Murad, culture and story.
They paid too much for everything today.
I'm Kayla, the burial site specialist.
Aloha and welcome, everyone. We'd like to open with a pule. Uncle Des, do you think you could make a pule for us this morning?
E pule kako. Help us to remember. Help us to heal. And help us to be one with Kakua. Amen.
Thank you, Uncle Des. Item number three, our minutes. We're going to be looking at approval of the minutes for May 16, 2024. Anybody has any questions or comments or edits? If not, can we get a motion to approve our minutes for May 16, 2024?
I move to approve.
Traven makes the motion. One second.
Oh, I second.
Second. All those in favor of approving the minutes for May 16, 2024, please say aye.
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 Uncle Des, aye.
Oh, I see him raise his hand.
Oh, you did? Okay, good.
Oh, I mean, he has the. Oh,
no. Okay, good. So, motion passes unanimously. Item B, approval of the minutes from August 15, 2024. Does anybody have any comments or edits? Minutes for August 15, 2024. If we have no comments or edits, could someone please make a motion to approve the minutes?
I move to approve.
Craven moves to approve item B, approval of minutes for August 15th. A second?
Second.
I'ini seconds. Thanks, I'ini. All those in favor say aye or raise your hand.
Aye.
I can't tell.
Yeah.
Okay. Mahalo, those minutes passed unanimously. Next item, item four of business A, descendancy recognition application of Clement Chang Jr. to the Native Hawaiian skeletal remains of Upala Kaleohana Jr., Kamela Kaleohana Kano, unnamed twin of Upala Opio, and Setepano Kaleohano, located in Nololi'i, Apukua'a, South Kona District, Island of Kauai, TMK 38-9-004:018. Clarence Chang here. Last month. Clarence gave testimony last month, and I think we can go ahead and let's see, he was seeking lineal descendancy to these burials. I have a letter here from the Ship D department. Wait to read this, Kayla, this whole thing. We have a letter from Ship D from Susan Lebo, recognizing descendancy recognition application of Clement Chang Jr. for the purpose of establishing and substantiating a lineal cultural descendant claim to the human skeletal remains at the above property, the named individual below has submitted an application to the Department of Land and Natural Resources State Historic Preservation Division for assessment and verification pursuant to Hawaii Administrative Rules 13-300-35. The administrative rules require that the applicant provide evidence of direct or collateral genealogical connections to certain Native Hawaiian skeletal remains. In this case, the applicant has submitted information genealogically connecting himself to Apela Kaleohana Jr., also known as Apela Opio Kamela Kaleohano, unnamed twin of Apela Opio and Stetefano Kaleohana, who are interred at the above parcel. Ship D has verified these documents through birth certificates, death records, and census records. Therefore, the Ship D recommends that the HIBC recognize Clement Chang Jr. as a lineal descendant to the above remains. So can I get a motion, please, to accept Clement Chang Jr. as a lineal descendant to these remains?
Real quick, sorry. I'm pretty sure that we voted. Looking at the minutes from last meeting, we already voted on this and it passed unanimously. This was the last thing we were able to vote on with quorum.
Oh, let's see.
That's under business A of the minutes from August.
Okay, I guess we did vote. Thank you, Traven, for pointing this out, and it passed unanimously. Thank you, Traven. Okay, so we will move on to the next item. Item B, descendancy recognition application for Thomas M. K. Eli Jr. to Kukui Family Burials, SIHP number 50-10-47-3140-31480, located in Kalama 5, Ahuhua, South Kona District, Island of Hawaii, TMK 38-2-006:011. Information discussion determination whether to recognize the applicant as a lineal descendant to the above Native Hawaiian skeletal remains. Is Kalana here today? I know he was here last month. Yeah, I'm sorry. I got to put on my glasses. He is here.
Aloha, yes,
aloha,
I am here.
Aloha, Kalana.
Aloha.
So I know you gave testimony already last month.
Yeah, well, actually, I tried to, but last month, the folks couldn't hear me.
Okay.
My ohana, my auntie and my uncle were also on. I know they gave testimony. I could not hear them as well. So I'm not sure what they shared, but... Yes, I just want to say mahalo to everyone for the work that you folks do. And if there's anything else you want me to share, I can. Is there anything more that I need to elaborate on?
I move to accept.
I think that's fine, Kalana. We can go ahead and make a motion to...
I move to accept as stated in the application.
We'll make a formal motion for approving him. And do we have a formal motion to accept? Oh, to accept. Sorry, Desmond. Okay, do we have a second? Law seconds. I don't think I need to reread the whole item here. I can just read that Shifty also approves of this applicant to recognize Thomas M. K. Eli Jr. as a lineal descendant to the above remains.
I call
so
for a vote.
All those in favor, say aye or raise your hand. Aye.
Real quick, before we vote, I'm going to recuse myself because Kalana's my first cousin, but I support him all the way.
Right on. Thanks, Traven. So we'll have an abstain, right? Okay, so we have four yeses and one abstain. So the motion passes. Mahalo, Traven, and mahalo, Kaulana, for coming today.
I have a question. So it'd be Traven pulling out, do we have a quorum to pass this motion?
Yes, because he abstained. He's still here voting, he just abstained. See, item C. Descendancy recognition application for Kaina L. Waiau to Kukui Family Burials, Historic Preservation Number 50-10-47-31480, located in Kalama 5, Ahupua'a, South Kona District, Island of Hawaii, TMK 38-2-006, :011. Is Kaina Waiau here today?
I don't see him.
He was here last month, though, yeah.
I move to accept as stated in the application.
Thank you, Uncle Des. So we have a motion to accept.
I second.
Kaina Waiau as stated in item C. Do we have a second?
Second.
Traven? Again, we have a letter from Ship D, which I will just say that they approve. Therefore, Ship D recommends that HIBC recognize Kaina Waiau as a lineal descendant to the above remains. Do we have any questions? Discussion? All those in favor say aye. And any opposed or abstain? Thank you. Motion passes unanimously. So the next three recognitions that we have, applications, I believe are one family. Oh, no, they're not. Carolyn Norman, Theodore Norman, and Kanaloa.
Oh, they're not. Norman.
Okay. So we were wondering if we should go ahead. Law had recommended, Bella, that we combine Carolyn K. Norman and Theodore R. Norman, if you are direct family relatives and you want to be recognized together at the same time and you guys would like to speak to us and testify now, we can put you together if you'd like.
Aloha, Nui.
Aloha, Kiala.
I'm good with being recognized together with my brother, Keikua.
Okay. All right. So maybe, Law, you...
Yeah.
Yes, we have to make a motion to combine the two. So
I'll motion to combine agenda items for D and for E for descendants.
Sorry, Law. Real quick, I believe we just lost Uncle Des, so we can't vote on anything. He said he'll be back after he finishes with the presentation on another Zoom. So I think all we can do is just hear testimony right now.
I'll just make the motion to combine first. And then we can hear testimony. Oh, but he can't.
We can't vote on it.
Hello. Thanks, David.
We just lost quorum for a few minutes.
Oh. Steady.
I move to accept.
Oh, here.
Coverage of all the applicants for cultural descendant.
We have a motion on the floor to combine items D and E for the two family members, brother and sister. The last name is Norman. Law made a motion, and we just need a second for that motion.
I'll second.
Traven seconds. All those in favor of combining these two family members say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Okay, so Carolyn Norman and brother Theodore, we give you the floor for a moment if you'd like to just share your story and this ohana that you are cultural descendant to, if you want to.
Yes, aloha. My name is Carolyn Norman, Carolyn Kiala Norman. My ohana that my brother and I are descended from is our great-grandfather on this project in Keala Kipua. We have been in the kuleana of Malama Ibi Kupuna for 24 plus years. Our first Ibi Kupuna that we did Malama was right there in Kona Hokulia over 24 years ago. So mahalo.
Mahalo, Kiala. Is your brother here too?
Hi, good morning.
Anything?
Hi, good morning. This is Theodore Norman, also known as Kekua. We are also, yes, we're descended through one of Ialua, who is our great grandfather. And yes, I also participated in Hukulia repatriation.
Mahalo, Kekua. So we need a motion to, I will just add that we have letters from Shifty for both of these two applicants. Shifty recommends that HIBC recognize Carolyn K. Norman as cultural descendant to the above remains and also recognize Theodore R. Norman Jr. as cultural descendant to the above remains. So could I have a motion to approve and recognize them as cultural descendants?
I motion to recognize Defendant Carolyn Kiala Norman and Peter Kikwa Norman to the agenda.
I second that.
Remains.
Okay, Uncle Des second. All those in favor say aye or raise your hand. All those opposed or abstain. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Kiala and Kekua, for coming forward and having your recognition done here formally so that you can continue taking care of your kupuna, Ibi Kupuna. We really appreciate
Mahalo.
When our people, when people come forward and take that kuleana on. Aloha.
Mahalo.
And
aloha.
Next. On our agenda is item F. Descendancy recognition application of Kanaloa K. Koko to unidentified Native Hawaiian skeletal remains is SIHP number 50-10-47-30045, located in Kiala Kekua, Ahupua'a, South Kona District, Island of Hawaii, TMK 3-8-2-014:043. Is Kanaloa Koko here today? What, has he been here before? To okay. Okay. This is an uncle from Maui that isn't here, and he's an elder. Do you have a recommendation? What we should do with his descend this item F? Oh. All right. Well, this Uncle Kanaloa K. Koko is not here. He's an elder. He sent his paperwork in, and he sent a letter last month. He lives on Maui, and I do have a letter from Ship D that recommends that HIBC recognize Kanaloa K. Koko as a cultural descendant to the above remains. If people are okay with recognizing him, even though he's not here in the Zoom.
I move to accept the application by Kana. I was with him last weekend.
Yes.
I'll second.
Okay, awesome. Thanks, you guys. So
if I could suggest something, you know, I would like to attach face to name. Those attending would please share their video.
Oh, we will after we're done with this motion, yeah. I can ask that, Uncle Des. Okay. So Traven seconded our motion. We have a letter from Shifty that recommends that HIBC recognize Kanaloa K. Koko as a cultural descendant to the above remains. Motion is on the floor to accept. All those in favor say aye or raise your hand. Any oppose or abstain? So the motion passes unanimously. Thank you. We have a request from the Burial Council that anybody that's attending via Zoom right now, could you please turn your cameras on so we could see your faces?
And if I can just add on to that, if you want your name to be listed as an attendee, I'm writing the names based on how I see them when you log in. So if you want your name to be recorded otherwise, or if you want your full name to be recorded for the record as somebody who attended the meeting, if you could change your Zoom name to what you want it to be recorded as.
Okay, we have a few more people with their cameras turned off, but there was a request made by one of our council members, Halmia, if you could turn your camera on. Hey, Matt. Good to see you.
Hey, how's it going, Claire?
Okay. We are moving right along through our agenda. Thank you, everybody. We are on item G, request to amend the permanent preservation buffers for SIHP number 50-10-37-16116 in the Ali'i Palm subdivision, Pua'a, second of Pua'a, North Kona District, Island of Hawaii, TMK37-5-020:071072. Recommendation to the State Historic Preservation Division whether to accept or not accept the proposed amendment. So we have Matt Clark here from ASM Affiliates. Matt, did you want to give us some information and background on this?
Yeah, am I able to share my screen?
Oh, yeah, give me 1 second.
And I have with me too Sarah Agnew Miller. She's representing Stanford Carr Development, the developer of this subdivision. Okay, let me find the right screen. Can you guys see that?
Yeah.
All right. Aloha, my kakou. My name is Matt Clark. I'm the director of ASM Affiliates, an archaeological consulting firm here in Hilo. I'm joined by Sarah Agnew Miller today, who's representing Stanford Carr Development. And Stanford Carr is requesting to amend the permanent preservation buffer for a previously identified burial site within the subdivision. It's now on TMK 754559, which was formerly the parcels that Kalena read. It's located in Pua'a, second Aupua, North Kona District, Island of Hawaii. The Ali'i Palm subdivision is located along Ali'i Drive in Kailua Kona. It's been the original two parcels were subdivided into a number of lots. Sorry, question anyone? No. It's been subdivided into a number of lots. Construction began in 2022 and it's still ongoing. The location of the burial site in question is shown here with a red star. Site 16116, it's a complex containing an enclosure, three mounds, a modified outcrop, and two burial platforms. The site was first identified during fieldwork conducted by Paul H. Rosendahl Incorporated in 1992, and it was documented in an archaeological inventory survey report that was submitted to SHPD by PHRI in 2003 and approved in 2004. The two burial features were the subject of a burial treatment plan that was also prepared by PHRI in 2003. That burial treatment plan was presented before the Hawaii Island Burial Council. And on August 19th, 2004, the burial council voted to preserve the burial features in place. And the burial treatment plan was subsequently accepted by the State Historic Preservation Division on December 1st, 2004. Here's a map of the site from the PHRI burial treatment plan. The two features are shown on the right there. The blue is the interim protection measure barrier, and the red is the permanent preservation buffer. Basically, the burial treatment plan says that there'll be a 30-foot interim protection buffer marked with orange construction fence. Placed around those features, There'll be a pre-construction briefing with the construction crew and verification of the fence by qualified archaeologists prior to construction activities. And then a 15-foot permanent preservation buffer delineated by landscaping and stone walls will be established for the site. A sign will be installed at the site, and there are measures for access for Linnean cultural descendants. In 2021, Stanford Carr contracted ASM affiliates to assist with the implementation of the preservation measures specified in the burial treatment plan. I personally installed orange construction fencing around the site on April 29th, 2021, and the appropriate placement of that fencing was verified in writing to Shifty on October 6th, 2021. On July 13th, 2022, I met with construction personnel from Isimoto and held a pre-construction briefing. I showed them where the sites were, made sure the orange fence was still in good shape and appropriately placed, and they've been very good about communicating with me since. Construction activities, as I mentioned, are still going on within the subdivision. This is a map showing the lots that have been created, the roadways, as well as the location of site 1661 features D&E and the preservation area that had been proposed for the site. In March of this year, Stanford Carr asked if I would go out to assist with the implementation of the permanent preservation measures for the site. During a site visit, I noticed that the marked location for a retaining wall they had planned to put along the edge of the yellow preservation area shown on this map was much too close to feature D. And so I talked with representatives from Stanford Carr. I also met with Kea on site on July 1st, 2024. And since that time, at that meeting, Kea basically informed us that, you know, any reduction in permanent preservation measures would need to be decided upon by the burial council or brought before the burial council, which is what we're doing today. And since that meeting, Stanford Carr has worked with their engineers and the County of Hawaii to get permission to push a wall that was planned along the edge of the buffer out, which brings it closer to a road. So they needed permission from the County of Hawaii to be able to do that. The plan they have come up with is shown here. Feature D in this is this red circle here, and the original wall is shown in front of it where it was going to go. They've gotten permission from the county to bump it out to within 2 feet of the roadway here, and that would make a permanent preservation buffer roughly 9.5 feet at the upper or at the base of the wall and 13 feet on the outside of the wall, rather than the 15 feet, but the buffers on all other sides would increase to about 40 feet where the wall is shown in red there. This is a diagram of the wall. It's a little bit hard to understand, but here's the roadway. Here's the 2-foot shoulder. This would be the wall here. This is away from the burial. This is the ground surface behind the retaining wall. And this would be the location of the burial feature back here. And it's showing the distances of, this is 9.5 feet to this point, 13 feet to this point, and then you have your roadway and your shoulder. So essentially the request from Stanford Carr is that they be able to reduce the buffer along the Makai edge of feature D to the 9.5 feet, which would be down to the base of this wall. You know, the buffers on all other sides would increase. And if it's allowed, ASM would prepare an amendment to the original burial treatment plan for submittal and review by the SHPD prior to implementing any permanent preservation measures. That's all I put together for the presentation. Any questions for me or for Sarah?
Hey, Matt, it's Uncle Des.
Hi, Des. How are you?
Good. This looks familiar from the CRC. What, did this come through the CRC?
Not when I was serving on it.
Oh, okay. No. This looks familiar.
It's
anyway, thank you for that.
You're welcome.
ASM is awesome.
Thanks, Uncle Des.
So I can talk a little bit more. So thank you, Matt, also for I was able to go on a site visit
with Matt, and he was able to show me on the ground. I think when they're talking about it in the presentation, showing you the photos, it's helpful. But to actually be there and see it, especially in proximity to the actual development, the two things that I would bring up. So you go, the first thing being that thank you, Matt, for going out there and verifying that it was incorrectly, the location was incorrect initially. So they, for whatever reason, when they collected the point where the actual burial, it's as if it completely shifted forward, right? So if it was here, and I don't think everyone on screen can see me, sorry, but if it was here and the developed area is here, it was here in actuality. So it's a complete full push forward of what, almost five feet, Matt?
Yeah, I brought up this map again. The original, I think the surveyors, when they originally plotted these features, is the open circle here in white. And then when I went back and they replotted it, they realized that it was wrong where they'd surveyed it and it was here. So the original plan when they made the 15 feet was based on inaccurate information.
Right. So when you go out there.
Yeah. And when you saw what you saw marked was less than 5 feet away was where the original wall was going to go.
Right.
It's now been pushed out an additional almost 5 feet again.
Yeah. And it. I could understand we would want it to be pushed out, but the two things that I would say is the first being that when you do push it that way, it's incredibly close to the road, and the wall that's protecting it is, I mean, 2 feet is nothing, but the county has made, you know, the county has not been approached on any change to that. And I know that could be a difficult process, but
actually the county approved this. They approval from the county.
Amended buffer, right? But they wouldn't, but with no hindrance to the location of their road.
No, they approved moving the CRM wall, I believe. Sarah dealt with that with the county, and I think they did say it was okay.
To move the road?
No, they can't move the road. They can move the wall.
Yeah, I guess that's the first thing is that they can't, there's this kind of stipulation that they can't move the road, and then the subdivided lots, there's no shift that could be made to accommodate the buffer that was already in place. And because it was mismapped, my main concern is that it was supposed to be 15 feet and that was the agreed upon buffer. And because something was done wrong by whomever, whether it was the developer or the contractor, if not Matt, and I want to be clear about that, but they're asking for us to amend, you know, approve and recommend to amend the buffer. So that's precedent setting for this attitude of the field later. It's a bit concerning. Just because the buffer is already fairly, it's a 5 feet small, you know, we have different buffers in our brains. 20 feet sometimes is the one that people think of, but 15 feet is pretty small as it is, but 9 feet, 10 feet is much smaller. And then when you think about the fact that the wall is right there on the road, you know, probably an arm's length away from the road at best, that was really concerning. The thing Matt did point out that was nice is that they expanded the buffer other direction, but I would say that that's not the direction that needs protecting. So that's something, you know, I just wanted to speak on that. I commend Matt and I really appreciate all the work he's put into this, but I am really concerned with this precedent setting. I don't think I know that I would want to recommend the amendment of a buffer that should have been maintained and then somehow set this precedent that also once the county makes a decision about where the road goes, that's where it has to go, because the primary concern should be Aripuna and protecting these things that we need to protect. So I just wanted to speak on that.
Thank you. That was really good. That was very good, profound analysis of the situation. Do we have anybody else that would like to speak? Oh, Traven, I see your hand.
Hi, Matt. A couple of questions for you. How wide is that road?
That road, Sarah, can you answer that question? Sorry.
The paved roadway is 20 foot wide and the right of way is 40 feet. It has a 10 foot buffer on either side. And that's where, when we met with the planning department and submitted an amendment to our PUD application, they were able to approve us moving that CRM wall closer to the paved edge of roadway by 8 feet. So going into the right of way.
And so far, and the plan for that road is only for use for residents in that community, is that correct?
Yes, I don't know if Matt can pull up the site plan so you can see, but it's one access in off of Ali'i Drive. And this is the road that is furthest back, at the back of the property, and doesn't have any through streets. So it only accesses, let's see, primarily two lots at the upper edge of the property, and then actually all of the lots that front that roadway are alley loaded. So their garages access off of the alley on the opposite side of the house. So the main, so someone driving to the front of their house and parking on the street would use that roadway, but primarily it's the loop for fire safety access.
And then knowing that it's fire safety access, that changes it, because my initial question was, with it being limited traffic on that roadway, instead of moving it, can we shrink it? Because that's a pretty large area. And if we shrink it, how much can we shrink it by that the county would approve it? We're not moving it. But what would that do to our buffer to maintain that 15 foot?
To shrink the width of the roadway?
Yeah. Have you guys approached the county or the Sanford Car Development about that?
Not the reduction in the width of the roadway specifically, just into the buffer.
Yeah.
Because our PUD already requested to reduce the width of the roadway, the paved roadway, from 40 foot wide, paved edge to edge down to 20. And that was the minimum that they would accept at the time. So our alleys are actually 20 foot wide paved, but they don't have a 10 foot buffer on either side.
I think that's all the questions I got for right now.
Law has another question.
Sarah, right?
Yes, am I looking at the screen with Jordan?
My hand does. Okay. The roadway for safety, we understand that the idea being that a fire truck can go through there with no hindrance, right?
Yes.
And then those lots adjacent to the road that you're talking about, I just wanted to clarify a couple of things. So they access their house. There's two houses that access is the main or primary access is on that road.
Let me see if I can pull up. Matt, could you pull up the site plan that you had in your slide?
Yeah, this one? Is that the one, Sarah?
I don't see the share.
Oh, we need to share the screen again. Hold on.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Wait, I think you can. Can you share it, Matt?
Sorry. I thought I was still sharing. Let me try and adjust that. There. Can you see again?
Yeah. There we go.
Yeah.
The preservation area is in the back of the developed property. This road is used only by residents. And so those lots on that side, those are the there's an alley in between those paired lots, correct? And
Yes, so you
that
can.
alley is their primary access to their homes.
Yeah, so road lot G in that backs up to lots 40 through 47, all of the garages for this, the houses are located on that side of the property. So the front doors face road D. So someone could park on the street and like a visitor walk into the front door of the home. But primarily, when people come home, they will park in their garages off of lot G.
So that back road that is abuts the preservation area is actually a lot of a guest access and parking might be on that side, but generally they're not parking their cars. The residents aren't parking on that side. And
No,
lots themselves in that last row on adjacent to the road, have those actually been built?
Good question. No, not yet.
And the lots have been graded and grubbed.
Grubbed, that this is there was a lot of excavation in certain areas. It's a fill site, but there were higher areas at the back of the property. So it's in between, rough, it's almost to rough grading.
Okay. But they haven't been built.
No, they haven't been built. It's been, we have homes in up through lot 32, 26 to 32, so road F. That's our dividing line between the first phase and the second phase.
The front portion of the property. Okay, thank you. That's it. Thank you so much, Sarah.
Thank you.
I have a couple of thoughts if everyone else is okay. This just came into my mind, Sarah. This was done, the BTP was done in what, 2004? So 20 years ago. I'm wondering if Stanford Carr owned this property then, or was it another builder, developer who got this burial treatment plant approved and then they sold it to a new owner who's developing.
Yes, so we partnered with the landowner of this property. And I am not sure if he owns it all the way back to 2004. But then when we got involved, we went through all the documents that had been previously done, and then that's how we I sought out PHIR and then ASM as their next company, I guess, trying to contact the original archaeologists on the project. So,
Glenn.
no, we were not actively involved at the beginning, but I'm not sure if our partner owned the property at the time.
I'm not sure if you're able to give the name, but it looks like the initial BTP that was prepared by Rosendahl was done at the request of Mr. and Mrs. Randy Farley. Is that the same at with Clark Realty kind of taking the lead with that? Is that
No, Alan Pin is the landowner that approached us about partnering. So he must have come subsequent to that.
the archaeological reports say that the original landowner, when they did the original surveys in 1992, had financial troubles, sold the property. Then they did follow-up work in 2003, and that's when all these reports were prepared. And I don't know anything other than that.
Thanks, Matt. I'm just interested and concerned because this is a pattern where there's a lot of land sold all over the island, and then it is resold and resold, and new owners, and they change their perspective and their value system. And I've been in meetings in the past where we actually ask the landowner to give up those two lots rather than we have to give up our Iwi Kupuna. you had a 40-foot roadway back there, and suddenly we have to lose our buffer from 15 down to 9.5. So, I mean, I'm not even a math person, but I know there's something wrong with those numbers. It's not fair to us as the host culture to have to keep moving over so that more people can keep developing our land and pushing closer to our burials. If this was to 15 feet buffers, we don't really even do 15 feet buffers anymore. That's pretty unheard of. We usually ask for 20 to 50 for reasons just like this, because this is what happens. It got down to 15 feet, and now you're coming before the council to ask it to be reduced to 9.5 or 9 feet. And all you need is one good drunk party and one guy clipping that wall, and it's over. So I personally don't feel comfortable, as Lau is saying, setting a precedent for developers to have a BTP made 20 years ago and come back 20 years now today to ask for a reduction in a buffer that's already small. I mean, we could ask for them to give up those two lots right there and sacrifice that for the culture, the host culture of Hawaii, instead of thinking about money and thinking about developing. And that's just, those are my thoughts. And of course, I have no criticism of ASM at all. I respect that company and the people that work there. I was wondering what would happen if we didn't approve the reduction and the revision in the BTP. What will happen to your project?
So, I think we would probably pursue reducing the width of the roadway, but it was already previous. It was approved to have the wall abut directly to the paved roadway, but in trying to follow ASHTO standards for safety for vehicular driving, they recommend the minimum offset off of a paved roadway to a barrier being 2 feet. The wall is about 6 feet in height at its highest point, and then tapers down with the topography as it returns back in towards the mountain. But we hadn't looked into reducing the width of the roadway less because of traffic and fire, and all of that has previously been approved, reviewed and approved. So we need to go back and see if a smaller roadway would be acceptable.
Well, the lots haven't been built back there yet either. So maybe the developer can redesign the plan to accommodate for the buffer that was already promised 20 years ago. And it's not our fault that there was a mistake in the GPS point that was taken 20 years ago or the survey. We're here today and you haven't built yet. So the flexibility that can go on the developer, not necessarily reducing the size of the road, but maybe reducing the size of the lots in your subdivision or how many lots you sell to accommodate for not just safety on the road, but also respect for our burials and our iwi kupuna. So it could be, you know, it would definitely be a win for us. I'm not comfortable personally revising the BTP to reduce an already significantly small buffer. 15 feet is really small. And now to have it reduced to 9 feet is even worse. So my inclination is to say no. And I don't know how the rest of our council will feel.
So I think that if we can't work within, so this project received an SMA permit, a change in zoning, PUD, subdivision, civil plan approval, building permit approval. So building permits for these lots have already been approved as well. I think that if we have to make an adjustment to the subdivision, it would then subsequently require adjustment and change to all of the entitlements for the whole project. So it really wouldn't be feasible to go back and do that at this point.
Uncle Des, yeah, sorry. Yeah, hang on. You know, sorry for my video. I don't know what's the matter with my phone, but as I stated earlier, this I recognize this project. This was brought up, I think, in the middle 90s, I think it was. I concur that it's not about safety, it's not about entitlements, it's about our Ivy Kupuna. And that's what we represent here at the Borough Council. And I have concerns. I think one option is to not do anything, but adjust your plans. But I don't feel comfortable with this project because it addresses foreign investors, for one thing. And this is a concern of our Borough Council, as I can speak for everyone here, that either we table this and have them come back with a renewed BTP or whatever they need to do, but I do not feel comfortable with this project, and I suggest we revisit that at a later date.
Thank you, Uncle Des. Traven, oh wait, and then Law. Traven and Law.
Matt, do you mind going back to the other map that shows the individual house lots and the road D and all that? Yeah, that one right there. And then with your mouse, do you mind just clarifying, road lot D, the width of what is shown there, is that 40 feet?
If you look in front of lot 34 and the property line and you go across to the bump out that is not part of the property, that is a 40 foot wide right of way. But
Wait, sorry, you said lot 34?
43.
Okay.
But the roadway, all the roadways are all on one single TMK.
Gotcha.
And there is a preservation easement over the area roughly shown in orange, permanent preservation. And then on the other side where it says road lot D, adjacent to lot 18, there's a passive park in that location there.
Okay. And in front of the houses, the front door of those houses, lot 42, 43, 44, 45, you said that there's a 10 foot, like shoulder for parking, visitor parking, is that correct?
It's street parking is strongly discouraged, but that is where a visitor would park. And it's actually part of the roadway reduction and designing these alley loaded products. There's actually only about 13 feet between the property line and the front of the house.
Okay. And then kind of shifting gears a little bit, I'm just curious, what is one lot selling for?
We've sold anywhere from 800,000 to 1.3.
That's a lot of lots, a lot of money coming in. Yeah, I think we're all in the same mindset. This is, we don't want to shrink the protections for any of our Ivy Kupuna and set a precedent that they protections can be taken away or shrunk, especially when it comes to big money projects like this. I think this is where we even more so should be standing our ground and saying, no, you should make the adjustments. But I appreciate you guys. Again, I think we're all on the same page as far as you guys as ASM.
other thing is all the utilities, water, sewer, electrical run within those roadways and within the 10-foot right or 10-foot road buffers too. So shifting of roads can't always happen because of the location of the utilities and their rules and requirements as well.
Okay, that's all the questions I've got, Law.
What does that mean? I mean, you got to make the adjustments. We're here to represent our Yuki, and I totally disagree with this project. And I call for a vote, or just we can do this. I have a question. So, what other community opportunities you provide for the local community besides this project?
It tied in with this project, or just our
No,
home.
my question was what other community projects for a local community?
Oh, we're currently working on an affordable rental project out in Waikoloa. It'll be the first affordable rental providing housing to people that work and live.
Is it affordable housing or housing that we can afford?
It's through
What's
the
the narrative there? Affordable housing or housing we can afford?
it's supposed to be housing that can be
And what is
affordable.
your number on affordable housing? Of housing we can afford? $850,000 it does not address the needs
This
of our local
project
market.
is a standard for sale project. That other pro for rental I'm referring to is through the 201H process. We also have Leilani Apartments up on Manawa-Laya. I recently completed a renovation of that project.
Okay, Mahalo. Thank
That's
you. That's enough. That's enough.
and then we're working on Kamakana, which is a large area up by Manawa-Laya as well. And that is going to have a lot of either affordable housing, entry-level housing.
Mahalo. Thank you. Thank you for that. That's wonderful.
Sure.
That's so awesome.
We
Ms.
have
Chair, I suggest that we meet it to a vote and close this portion of the meeting
Thank you, Uncle Jeff.
regarding
I
this
have one
project.
more. Law has something she also wanted to address. So let's let Law go ahead.
I do want to make a motion, and I have one in mind. I would say thank you, Sarah, for all of the information. It's really helpful. I do acknowledge and understand the additional measures that have to be taken and the inconveniences that come with a situation like this where the buffer was mislocated, and then when it was relocated, I understand it causing inconveniences. I think we all understand the utilities, the infrastructure. Typically, the roads are underneath the roads is a pool utilized for utilities, such as electric and water. And it is a huge inconvenience for the developers to have to shift, but it's a necessary inconvenience, and it's more of a responsibility than an inconvenience, if I could rephrase that or change the terminology. The initial responsibility of the landowner when when coming in is that there are culturally sensitive areas and significant parts of our cultural landscape that need to be the first priority, and they are made the first priority when you create the burial treatment plan and the preservation plan that's associated with your property. And when it was made a certain way. And that doesn't change just because there was an error in the location of the burial. It doesn't affect the preservation measures for the burial. It affects the way that you're developing around it, because the primary concern and the thing that is, or Kamea Nui, the most important thing is not the development, and it's not the houses. And if you were to ask a Hawaiian to shift their house for their kupuna, they would. So that's something that I think we're all saying. I'm gonna make a motion, and I will just So I motion that SHPTI not accept the proposed amendment that requests to amend the preservation buffer for site 50-10-37-16116 in Pua'apua'a 2.
I just want to say something real quick. I'm pretty sure that the burial treatment plan is under our jurisdiction, not SHPTI. Please correct me if I'm wrong, Chris.
It's
as
not.
Far as the approval in the amendment, not.
We don't have to.
No. Don't have to. I second that motion and call for the vote.
Thank you. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstain. The motion passes, but there'll be no revision on the BTP. Thank you, Sarah and Matt.
Mahalo for your consideration.
Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thanks, everybody. Okay, let's see. Next, item H, discussion on Hawaii Island Burial Council membership roles and responsibilities. If nobody has anything, we can just move on to the next. Item 5, inadvertent communications. A, update on the inadvertent discovery of unidentified human skeletal remains on July 15, 2024 during unmonitored excavation activity at the Hawaiian Paradise Park Owners Association Community Center, Waiakahikahi, Ahupua'a, Puna District, Island of Hawaii, TMK 31-5-023:040. Just information and discussion. An update on this above inadvertent discovery.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Hi, my name is Keone Kealoha Alvarez. I'm from Puna. And my ohana is Kealoha Lapuku Kau'i from Molokai and then also Kalapana and Puna District. So the reason why I'm coming to you guys today is I just wanted to give you guys a follow-up about, so there was a discovery of a burial cave on the Maku Association property. And in July, there was another second inadvertent discovery or a hit to that same burial cave. It's a burial cave. So I just kind of wanted to give everybody just a quick kind of timeline series of events. Basically just do a run through. So on October 15th, we called the Puna police because Maku Association notified me that a burial site was located on the in Maku'u Association property. It's not Hawaiian Homestead, but Hawaiian Homestead did give me a call to check on this burial cave. So I went ahead and did that. I met with three other kane that discovered this in like in the 80s, and they just wanted to make sure that it wasn't going to get desecrated because they could see that development was happening around the area, and they wanted to notify me about it and see what they could do to report it in the proper ways. So we went ahead and did that on October 15th. We called the police department. The police did come out. They did a police report. From that, they called DLNR. That same day, DLNR came out on October 15th and did a site visit, took a report, took our statements and everything like that. On October 16th, that's like about a day later, the SHPTI did come out with their archaeologists. They did come out and they did do a report about the, let's call it Cave 1 and Cave 2. So Cave 1 is before the inadvertent happened. So Cave 1, we're just reporting it. So they did, and they did a report about it. On January 18th, we had a Hawaii Island Burial Council meeting. And that was just to notify the Island Burial Council to be recognized as a cultural descendant. On January 25th, I got my cultural descendant recognition. And then going to July, I had an opportunity to meet with Maku Cultural Committee. This is not with the Maku Hawaiian Homestead, but this is with the association. They have their own cultural committee. I had an opportunity to talk with them and speak to them about what happened. And what we could do to work together to try and figure out of how we can protect this burial cave from being continually to be desecrated in any sort of way. So we went ahead and did that meeting. And then on July 15th, that's when the second inadvertent, or because there was development going around the area, they hit the burial cave. So, and that was on July 15th. I had another meeting with the Maku Association board. So, and I had an opportunity to speak with them, and they found out that it was just recently hit, and they wanted to know what they could do, and they wanted to get my manawa about what to do and how we can protect this place. So I did that. I did bring in the three kane that discovered the place. There was my mom also there who gave her manawa. And then on August 15th, so leading up to today, I had another Island Burial Council meeting. At that time, there was no quorum, but I did give everybody a follow-up who was there about the situation. And then August 8th, I decided to take it, you know, because the cave was open, it was an urgent need to make sure that the cave is going to be closed, right? There's a soa there, there's a puka. So we wanted to close it. So I, the association did help to put the pohakus in place. And I don't know if you guys have the burial report, but you can see the opening, and we can share the screen and I can show everybody what it looked like and what it looks like now. The association did put pohaku there. I did also contact Puna Rock and also Dan DeLuz or Edwin DeLuz Trucking. And they donated their semi, they dropped off the boulders so that we can protect the site. And then also Sanford's Trucking donated rocks so that we can patch this burial cave and make sure that nobody's going to be able to disturb it. Now, when I spoke with the board of the Maku Association, they wanted like a 5-foot buffer zone around where this burial cave. And as we know, burial caves goes like a snake, right? It goes, you know, all different ways and it can turn. So the buffer zone was 5 foot in front of the face of where they hit. But my thing, and I approached the board, is I wanted to make it 10 foot so that we can just make sure that there's enough buffer. And I will show you guys the picture of kind of what's going on, so you can kind of see what's happening right now. So we dropped the rocks, dropped the poakus, we packed, you know, the cave is pretty much protected and covered. The plans is we're gonna, you know, we put the poaku, we put the small rocks, it's gonna be more smaller ili-ilis, and then the association is gonna just put mulch on it so that nobody sees it, because you can see it from the road, right? So that's kind of what was the plans for that. And then I had a chance to speak with the cultural committee again, let them know I'm getting their support. And part of this is all of us is just trying to work together to try and figure out, and the association's willing to work with us. There's nobody's arguing about protection and things. We're all unanimously, or the board is unanimously in protecting the cave. I think it's a great thing, and I mahalo them for that. So we had a meeting last night, and they unanimously said, just go ahead and just, you know, I'm writing the treatment plan. I showed everybody the treatment plan, just a diagram of the treatment plan. I can show it again today, just to give you an idea of kind of the direction. And it's just basically, it's protecting it with a wall around it, protecting it with the boulders in the wall. And then also just planting some, you know, our native trees in there and things like that, but not, you know, it's not going to be a park. It's not a tourist area. It's a burial site. So, and that's what we're going to, it's only for cultural practitioners who has a purpose, has a meaning, that's going to be going there and wants to learn and reconnect with our culture. And that's what this whole thing is about. And so we had the meeting last night. It was a great thing. They're all in support of it. But my concern was that I just wanted the buffer zone to be a little bit further. When I show you guys the diagram, and the reason why is on both sides, there's already a park developed, a park, and this buffer zone would go in, it would go onto the park as well. And then on the other side here, can we screen share? Okay.
Screen share? Oh, yeah, you can.
Okay. Yeah, sorry. Can you guys see my screen? Or can everybody see my screen?
I don't know what your screen is. I think we can see it. It's moving around, but you have a lot of windows open.
Yes, I got to close out all my windows, but I just wanted to kind of just give everybody an idea. Okay, so this is... This is basically what, this is just a diagram, right? I showed the last time. So right here, there's a fence already made. I wanted to make a 2-foot wall, dry stack wall, getting Uncle Keone Kalabe, and get all of us, you know, in working on this project to put it together. Uncle Yopa Mauna Kea, we're getting HEC, the, you know, the universities and everybody just to relink with this in protecting this. But we wanted to make a dry stack wall just right around it, so in the future nobody goes within it. And then we'll put that in the treatment plan as permanent, as a buffer zone. This is where you guys can see this, right?
Yeah.
This is where the boulders are going to be, are already set, not set, but going to be set in place. We're actually, this is cave one. This is when we first initially was told the association about it, and then also notified the Island Barrier Council about it. And then after they hit this area. Okay, right here in this area here, there is mailboxes and a parking lot. I'm gonna show you guys a picture. And all along here already is a developed park. I don't know if you guys ever been to Maku Association, but and all this in here is just all natural forest. It's just it hasn't been touched. It's all just native trees. There's invasive stuff in there. We wanted to clean it out, but this is kind of what the layout. There's only gonna be one entrance in. We'll put signs that's gonna let people know to kapu, and then also we're going to put a plaque with a cave. This is not for a have draw people in here. This is just to let people who's getting really close to let them know that this is a sacred area that's here. A lot of the plants are already here. We have, you know, like Lohala, we're keeping all the natural stuff and what is there for generations and just keeping it all there. And we just, what we're just doing is just, there's no hale that's going to be built here, no Hawaiian hale, nothing. This is a dedicated site for our iwi kupuna. And this is where, and as you see, the length of this is 200 feet in length. And then from the park border, which is all green grass, and this is where they play football and all this stuff, to the fence is 200 feet. So the association is protecting the entire burial cave and keeping it all together, and it just lands on one parcel. So so I'm just we're just all working with each other and just trying to, and there is no hakaka or anything like that. We're just trying to get the right people all in place so that we can make sure it's in writing, it's going to be a permanent buffer zone, and nobody's going to be able to disturb our iwi kupuna. I wanted to show you the actual picture. So this is the this is the actual panoramic of what's going on right now. So we did put a, this is the buffer zone. So like I said, the cave moves in a snake, but we're just gonna keep it on the same length all the way down. So we're not gonna keep following this thing 5 feet and do an S or whatever. We're just gonna go straight and straight down towards the middle, and whatever's, it's all gonna be all protected. So you have this forest here, and then this is where the cave is at. This is what it looks like. I'm going to show you guys before and after, so you guys get an idea what's happening. So this is before, this is after where we're at. So, and it's a process of making the wall, making sure that it's sturdy, making sure that the base is all, you know, solid and things like that when we built it up. But after it's going to be done, mulch is going to be thrown on it, grass is going to be grown over it. We don't want to attract it to people, but there will be a plaque right in the middle, copper plaque that's going to say kapu, you know our ancestors. We'll figure out what kind of word we want to put on there, but all in all, that's kind of what the treatment plan is. I'm still writing it. I'll be submitting it to the Island Burial Council. Like I mentioned, the Maku Association is on board of just whatever we got to do to protect it, you know, that's what we're going to do. And yeah, and this is the cave, and I want to show you guys. So the problem, because I've been doing this for like 20 something years already, and in fighting for our iwi kupuna and our own burial caves that, you know, I'm steward, but we own it today. This is what it looks like, right? The state came in, they do their mapping. The state historic preservation actually flew out the state surveyors, and they did a mapping to scale of what our burial cave looks like. So rather, like I was saying, rather than, you know, we're following this thing 5 feet and it's going to be a weird shape, what we're doing is we're just actually making a buffer zone here and we're going straight down. And enough about, you know, about the of the shape of it, so that it's going to be unison, right? And we're protecting the entire cave. Like our cave goes over several lots under a road, and there's Ivikupuna throughout, just like this burial cave. You know, it's a small one, but it goes. Our ancestors put them in throughout the cave. So that was the plan. That's the follow up. I'm still drafting out the treatment plan. I haven't wrote it completely yet. So I'm still doing the wording, getting the reports from the first archaeologist report, and then the second, adding it to that, making sure that we also get the surveyor, because that's Manuahi too. Island Boundaries is coming in, and they just want a kokua, and they're going to be actually pinning where this burial cave rests. And it's very important that we know exactly where they're at underneath as well as on the top. And that's what I want to see before we cap the cave. We don't want to keep the cave one open. We want to close it because it's an open cave. This cave, this little cave, it's only about maybe 3 feet wide, you know, and you got to crawl in, but there's a system under here, but we need to make sure we know where the system in the future of knowing where this thing is at so that we constantly, you know, we protect it, you know. And that's just my manawa about where I'm at. And I just wanted to thank, and I think there is some of the Maku'u Association maybe here, and also the Cultural Committee online right now. And if you guys got any questions, you can, it's the HOA. It's different than, it's not an association. So correction, but I just wanted to mahalo them for their time, but this is still in the beginning of the process. It's not over yet. So I really don't want to mahalo everybody until we get those walls up, until we can make sure that the wording and everything's in there, then we mahalo everybody. But I just wanted to thank the Island Burial Council on making sure that, because I could see how different it was years ago of now there's protocol in place. You know, police is called, you have DLNR comes after, SHPD comes after, Burial Council notified, then you work some sort of, you want to work for the treatment plan or something out, but there is protocol there. And before there was nothing there, you know, and it's awesome to see.
Thank you, Carolyn. Thanks for all the work you're doing with everybody and networking with all the business people helping you, you know, gather pohaku. And that's great. That's really good news. Yeah.
But I also wanted to also get the 10-foot buffer zone. I know it's a little bit, but as we've seen, there's developed, it's developed already, and but I just want to make sure that we have just a little, you know, like how you said, in the future, we just don't want to deal with people shrinking anything, right? From what you guys just said. So now that you know, I think it's very important.
What?
I just wanted to add something, Keone.
Yes.
Hey, this is Crystal Schisler. Thank you so much, Keone, for everything you've been doing, and thank you for your work with the Burial Council and SHPD. I just had some concerns about this. I really am grateful for what you're doing, Keone, but I just wanted to let the Burial Council know there is a mailbox park, they're calling it, which is very close to this cave, which is why the cave has been discovered. And so I'm still very concerned that there's going to be heavy traffic right next to this cave, you know, even with a wall. I'm not sure the state laws on having a development such as this next to a burial cave, but I'm concerned about this mail park, which is what the board is calling it. And I'm just also very saddened. I want to express to the Burial Council and to everybody attending in Tokyone, I'm very saddened that this cave has had to be exposed this way. This is an illegal development that actually exposed the cave. These mail parks are in violation of the state statutes, HBPOA bylaws, and also deed restrictions on these parcels, these 20-acre parcels. So there's actually a lawsuit right now from members against the board due to this, the HPPOA, which is an owner's association, not a homeowner's association, governed by state statutes 414D. And so under that state statute, the membership actually is the legal owner to this land. It's not the board. The board members are trustees. So the board needed the membership's approval for these mailbox parks to be built, and they have not done that. And so I just also would like to express to Keone and the burial council that I'd like to see the membership consulted about Keone's burial treatment plan. This needs to be approved by the membership at a membership meeting. There's one coming up at the end of October. I would like to see this submitted to them for approval, because legally they have the ownership of this land and they're the ones who have to approve these plans. The county's burial treatment plan is still a development of this land. And so I'd like to see the membership consulted, and also just expressing my concern, there's going to be a mail park directly next to this cave, you know, and I'm glad it's being covered up and protected. Just concerned that this development is let to go on. There's been paving right next to the cave. There's going to be like 2,000 mailboxes installed there. So that's a lot of traffic right next to a sensitive burial site. I'm just concerned this is not being addressed or even brought to the, I'm not sure if it's been brought to the burial council's attention, that this big development is right, illegal development is right next to this cave. And so I'm very concerned just the amount of traffic it's going to bring right next to it. I think that's very disturbing to the site unnecessarily. And it's also an illegal development. So I feel like this mailbox park needs to be moved away from this site. And Keone's, you know, treatment plan should go forward. It should be protected with membership approval. It's a great treatment plan, you know, but this commercial development practically right next to it is not appropriate for a burial cave, in my opinion, you know. And I, you know, it's my first time attending a meeting with the council. I thank you guys for listening to my concerns. I just very concerned. I don't know what the laws are on that, but I'd like to see that, you know, addressed and the membership consulted. And also, there's deed restrictions on this land. There shouldn't be mailboxes there. It's for schools, parks, and recreation. So really, you know, this is very disturbing to me. I'm very sad this cave has been, had to be exposed. And, you know, from what I saw on the agenda, there was human skeletal remains found, and I haven't heard that even talked about. And so I'm concerned that information is being kept from the membership that needs to be divulged to them. There's plenty of members that are also Native Hawaiians, and that could be their Iwi Kupuna, you know, their ancestors. So I'm concerned why all of the descendants haven't been tried to be contacted at this point. I thought it was state law that if a burial is found, all descendants need to be contacted by the, you know, the developer, whoever's, you know, the owner of this land. So I'm concerned that that hasn't happened. I guess I don't know the laws exactly, but I have a lot of concerns about what's going on right now over there. And tell you the truth, as long as these board members, you know, namely the president, Carrie Hoffman, and VP Jeffrey Finley are left on the board, this could happen again. They feel they've done nothing wrong in illegally developing this land, exposing this burial. The president said last night at the meeting, this is what had to be done. I don't see why it had to. I begged them to get an AIS.
Mahalo
for that. So I just want to mahalo you. There's a lot of discussion you're bringing up that we have no authority over. As burial council members, we have very limited purview. So I appreciate what you're, you know, your what's going on right now, but we can't address that. It's not, we have nothing to do with the board there, HPPOA, and there are protocols and there are things in place. If there is an archaeological inventory survey assessment that reveals a burial, and then a burial treatment plan is then written after that, and it's posted into the newspapers calling for all the descendants that might be related. And some people don't know that their Iwi Kupuna is there. So, I mean, there's reasons why not, you know, hordes of Hawaiians aren't showing up. And so I think as this treatment plan progresses and people, we identify more of what's in where, and actually the burial treatment plan has to be approved by the HIBC, not the, and SHPD. So anyway, there are different protocols that will be in place, but thank you. Thank you for coming today. And thank you, Keone, for bringing this up. Uncle Desmond, you got your hand up.
Aloha.
Yeah, just going to say that. Mahalo for that, for everybody's presentation. Awesome work, Keone. We just focus is one what's on the agenda. Everything else, we have no authority over that. True. Just for everybody here, this was late 60s, early 70s when they were developing that Puna area. There were numerous sites of Iwi Kupuna. The problem is we voted for statehood, and that authority was removed and placed in the state of Hawaii. There are numerous, we found three caves that we cemented and were charged with property damage. So this is daily dollar short. The authority, it lies with the people. And I've shared this when you called me to that meeting. You have just a small group. All I'm going to say, it needs to be kako. And then what Keone is doing is awesome. If we cannot do this together, then it's never going to be done. We can talk till we blue in the face, but it's not going to take hold unless we, for one, decentralize Big Island and protect what we have left. Oahu, Maui, Kauai is losing their Iwikupuna. Their burial council is inept. Big Island Burial Council is very tight and very concerned about our children. And I'll say that confidently. So unless we come together as one, this will never happen. We can talk, we can grumble, we can complain, we can go to all the membership and association meeting. Unless we make changes together. And Crystal has been there for a long time, and I applaud Keone has been fighting it for years. And I just want to say that unless we do something, we got authority here for our Iwikupuna.
They went there the next day.
And we will fight tooth and nail to protect our Iwikupuna. So you're just saying, you know, it saddens me because this all came to light when Honokahua, when we found 3,000 sets of Iwikupuna. 3,000, and it's still built over it. Only then did the state of Hawaii took notice of Iwikupuna, because there was a handful of us Native Hawaiians that fought for it and was willing to go to jail for that. And so I applaud everybody as they work, but our focus here is Iwikupuna, not what's happening in associations.
Thank you, Uncle Des. Law has something to say. She has her hand up. Thank you, Keone, for coming and the updates you've been providing are great. I think at this point, we don't have any motions to make, but I would just suggest, you know, when you do come back, that burial treatment plan, submitting that, you know, the actual process would be that it goes to SHPTI when that time comes, but there are plenty of people and archaeological firms and Ohana come to us with the BTP ahead of that as discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they create PowerPoint presentations, sometimes they submit the drafted BTP prior to submission to SHPTI, if I'm not mistaken. So I'm so excited for you guys in this process, but I really look forward to seeing the BTP and having that submitted to us, because then we can look at it in finer detail. We can, you know, you'll write up the, besides that landscaping, I don't want to call it landscaping plan, but the beautification of that area, and all of that. I look forward to when you bring in the BTP for us to look at, and again, do that before you submit it, and give, and we can have that informal discussion with you prior to, that's all I was going to say. I really would love to see the BTP as it's drafted.
Yeah.
I have a question for Keone. Keone, you comfortable with 10 feet?
I'm comfortable with 10 feet. Yeah.
You know, like with 20 feet.
And what she was saying about the road, that road is going to be closed off. So because...
But you know, that's not going to stop the tweakers. I mean, guys are going to go in there. You know, I just concerned maybe 10, 20 feet would be... I'd rather fight for 20 than be approved for 10. That's what I mean. So when you do a BTP, you can talk to Matt. Matt's right there. Okay. Look at him right there. But I would rather fight for 20 than I get approved for 10. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Thank you, Uncle Des.
Okay.
Thank you, Keone. Thank you, HPP people who came today. We appreciate your coming in.
Mahalo.
Thank you. Ahoyo.
All right. Okay, we're on item B on number 5. Letter from the Department of Commerce, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, dated September 6, 2024, regarding NOAA Mauna Loa Observatory solar power, Hawaii County, Kaohe, Ahupua'a, Hamakua District, Island of Hawaii, TMK3, 4-4-016:009. It was a letter that we received in our packet from NOAA. They're I guess when we had our lava flow in, I think, December 2022 on Mauna Loa, it took out a bunch of road and maybe their energy source. So now they're repairing it, and they're going to put in solar panels up there for their observatory. Did anybody look at that or have thoughts or questions about the what they said for their our comments or questions?
I have comments and I have thoughts on it, but I'm wondering if, since we're being engaged for Section 106, we need to formally respond in some sort of whether it's written or not, but well, first off, I guess, are they here? And if they're not, so they're not here. Okay, so formal consultation response that we put together as a group, or can we individually comment, you know, because then we're individually commenting, but they're addressing us as council.
I think you can individually comment as a council member, but not as the HIVC. But if you want, you could submit a comment as the HIVC, which may or may not have more weight on what they take in.
What do you suggest?
I personally think we would be better off submitting individually.
Okay.
Because we don't, one person would be saddled with writing the letter on me. I don't want to. And I think we all have a little different take and we wear a different lens. And I think it'd be more power actually to get a few letters and say, I'm so-and-so, I'm Native Hawaiian, and I serve on the burial council. So they're getting letters from, you know, Hawaiian organizations and Native Hawaiians and different opinions, and they count it like that.
Okay.
They might count
and
it.
Right. One. Like, that's a good show. Okay. Well, then I'm probably just, because we have 30 days from today.
Yeah.
Because even though we received it in our packets, it's agendized for today, right? Okay. So I'm just going to.
I will too.
Comment right. That way. That's what I'm gonna do.
Is there anybody here from NOAA?
No.
So maybe this question is for Jordan. So I read that letter, yeah. What's the infrastructure for disposing of batteries from solar?
That's a good question. You can write them.
No, I know the answer. It's a rhetorical question, but I want to know if NOAA has addressed that.
Probably not, maybe. Not to us anyway. There was pukas in their letter. I saw lots of little
I know that.
That pumped up in my head, and I thought, oh, this is weird. And this, I'd like to know that, this, that. And the battery question, disposal of the battery is a valid question.
I know from experience working for Sustainable Energy Hawaii, Tuvalu, I think it was, went totally solar, totally off-grid. Their problem is disposing of solar batteries. There's no infrastructure for that. And I think there's enough desecration on the Mauna.
May I ask one question?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, thanks.
Are we allowed, just because it's something that, is it possible if I'm going to this and I just want to kind of one-on-one pick another barrel council and just bring it one-on-one? And then writing my letter. Okay.
You can talk to another council member.
We just cannot like convene like emailing each other all.
Not more than three of you.
Okay.
Not three or more.
Okay. I'm gonna just
you also know the one too.
Oh, Traven, that is
fine. Traven, you have a question?
So I don't know if anyone from ASM is still on, but it looks like they're the ones that did the archaeological and historic properties inventory survey in 2018.
Burial Committee. Council.
So if we do have any questions, it'd be a good one to go to outside of just NOAA themselves. Theoretically. Sorry, I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah, is she here? No, I don't think she's here. Okay. All right. Well, okay. So if we want to comment, we can send our own individual letters as a personal individual that also serves on the burial council. Okay, last item.
Announcements. The next HIVC meeting will be Thursday, October 17th. Meeting location to be determined. Do we have any announcements on that?
I do. So, because all the councils are, because we only have enough members to make a quorum, if members cannot make a meeting, do you guys want to try and reschedule the meeting for another day of the week or another Thursday of the month? I mean, not every month, but on months where I'm going to have an anticipated lack of quorum ahead of time. Did you guys want to try and reschedule them, or did you guys want to see how the agenda is going to look like and decide if you want to just postpone? And you don't have to talk about that now. Something to think about for the future. Again, only because we only have enough members for quorum. And so, you know, before, if a member couldn't make it, that was fine. But now, if you guys do want to continue to have meetings, then we can either see when everybody's available, maybe the week before or the week after the third Thursday, or maybe a Wednesday. Or again, if there's not going to be anything on the agenda, then you guys can just postpone to the next meeting. Not anything you guys need to decide on now, but just something to maybe think about. And if you guys want to touch bases on that again for the next meeting or something,
we can plan to discuss it.
Okay, sounds good. All right, I think our meeting is complete. We want
a motion to adjourn.
Second.
but we don't have
call for the vote. Never mind. Okay, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you, everybody.